Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
All right, it's time for the Wrestling Perspective podcast. Lars Fredriksson is on vacation, or he's in Germany somewhere. So fuck him. I went out and got nostalgia. I know EC3, you're not a big fan of nostalgia, but here on this podcast, we had some pretty big names doing it with me. It was like Dimitri Young, Jason Kendall, that one weird guy that hosts the podcast, that me, and. Okay. I went back into the bag of tricks and pulled out Dimitri Young. Dimitri said, I'm only coming on the podcast if you get EC3. You were the first text I made because I have your phone number, and here we all are.
How quick did I respond to?
I believe you were like, I don't know who you are, but I had Dimitri on my fantasy team, so yes.
I waxing poetic about nostalgia wrestling. I get on that. It's just because everybody claims like new. But then the second something for fantasy booking matches, that'll never happen. Or we're talking about old stuff and bringing old, like you want new, but sometimes you got to tolerate new and build new. So you can't go through that process. So we're stuck in nostalgia, but I'll go nostalgia baseball all day long. Nostalgia rock, nostalgia baseball, nostalgia, you know, HBO shows. I'm all about that nostalgia.
Well, I tell you, everything that you just said right there, it applies to baseball as well, with all these new rules and launch angle and spin rate.
My old man, I'm in a text group of my old men. I call my old men, it's my dad, my uncle, and they're buddies, and they're huge baseball fans. And like, they're just so livid about the run around second base stuff. They're just like, leave it alone, man. It's fine, just the way it is. And I get it. Like, you got to evolve and go quicker with the pitch count and the clock. But at the same time, dude, I go to a baseball game. A baseball game is a lot like a wrestling match to me, too. Is like, you don't need constant interaction from the fans because they're just kind of adjusting and enjoying being there. Where it doesn't need to be crazy loud excitement all the time. It's like the juice is worth the squeeze. I can watch a 20-pitch at-bat with the game on the line, fouling off. For that strikeout or for that game-winning hit, and like that's real excitement. But if it's constantly going, you know, it builds up to things, and that's like with wrestling, you build up to big moments and big spots and things like that. So I would parlay baseball to wrestling in a lot of ways.
I love the way that was explained right there. That is just absolute brilliance. And I mean, you're EC3. That's what's expected.
That's right, D Young. I am EC3. I think too, with the rigors of a baseball schedule, people, you know, they'll be like, well, you know, they're not hitting each other all the time. I don't think human beings understand traveling nonstop and the ability, like, you're playing a baseball game, you know, you're going to be out there for 3 hours. Dude, our bodies are wrecked in wrestling. We're traveling so much. Just the warm-up process to get ready to maybe do nothing takes forever. So it's always a grind. And that's just a different kind of grind than a 16-week football schedule or an 80-game basketball schedule. Like, it's sustained and it's constant, and you always have to play through injuries were, if you're injured in a football game, you might miss 1 week. But like baseball, you got to stick it out and you're in a slump and your labrum's torn, but you're still playing because you have to. Same thing with wrestling. We have to perform. Are we hurt or are we injured? You know, usually we're just hurt.
I went to a couple of TNA events back in like 2009 when my last year of playing, and those guys show up early. You know, when things start at 7, and you know what? Everything that you're saying, it resonates with me with baseball, because for a 7 o'clock game, and I asked some kids this a long time ago, what time do you think we get there? They're little league. They was like, oh, 6 o'clock? I was like, oh, no. Like, if I get there at 2:30, I'm late. I get there between 1:30 and 2, so I go to the training room, you know, get all that done, go down to the cage, get my swing. Maybe go up onto the field, get some early ground balls or fly balls, depending on where I'm playing, in the infield or outfield, and then go through batting practice. It sounds like all the same rigors that you go through to prepare for when the show begins.
With wrestling, it's a lot of – it's that hurry up and wait. So like you're saying with those impact days, like when it's TV taping, yeah, the show starts at 7, we're there at noon, and we're sitting there doing nothing for hours because everything's changing or shots aren't set up. So just that environment for so long. And then at least you got to go outside and take ground balls. Like, we're stuck in like locker rooms. So I started developing tendencies to, like, if I'm getting to shows early, I'll go outside for an hour. Like, even if I'm supposed to be doing something, just to catch the sun, just to feel, you know, the circadian rhythm rebalanced, like to feel alive, because we're stuck in those buildings all days. Everyone's just sitting there on their phones now too. It's just, it's mentally grinding.
But was that the way it kind of always was in the TNA Impact locker rooms from, because you were there in different versions of the TNA Impact days. And I've seen it towards the end around 2017 when I was tailgating or riding PD Williams' coattails. So I've kind of seen a lot of what you were talking about.
Yeah, TV for any of the companies is pretty similar. So with the WWE schedule, if it's an Eastern Coast, usually a TV call time is 2, but you want to be a little bit early. And then if you go to TV, WWE for sure, at least you're catered, well catered, and, you know, there's probably something to do. But then, you know, a lot of times 40 people are there and 12 are actually on the show, so it's like a lot of sitting there. You're there all day to do nothing. Impact, we would do a lot of marathon taping. So when I got there in 2013 or 14, sometimes it was 2 TV shows in a day. So we're there at 12, show one starts at 7 and rolls into the second show. So some of the days you have 2 matches that look like they're 2 weeks apart, but they're on the same day. And if you have that first match, it's like playing a doubleheader. You have that first match and you get it all out of you and your adrenaline drains, your dopamine's out, you're working so hard. And then an hour later, you cool down. And then you got another match. And it's just like, it's hard to come down to get back up. So those were tough. NWA TV is the same now because we're doing like marathon tapings, but we're there all day. I was just doing OVW and we had a pay-per-view. I sold it out, of course, here in Louisville, Kentucky. But again, show starts at 7, there at 2 o'clock. And so being active with the time now is something I'm trying to concentrate on. So big, weird stretch routine, get that sun. And I try to like interact with people as opposed to just sit there and like, you know, blue light my brain to death.
That's kind of a lot of what I noticed back in the Impact locker rooms was there was a lot of guys that was, and it's not a knock on them, but you'd sit there and, being a friend of a friend, you try not to get involved or try not to bug anybody, but you'd still kind of want to go, dude, I'm a big fan of yours. But it was weird because you see a guy on his phone, it's like, I'm not going to go talk to him. But then, you know, eventually you get to know him on a podcast. He's like, why didn't you ever come up and talk to me? It's like, you're in your phone. I don't want to bug you.
Right. Yeah. It's a slippery slope. I'm actually writing a book about a guide for wrestling because I think our generations coming up are lost and there's no leadership. So just shit I've seen, shit I've done, and like this code of ethics, I'm calling it, is about, as an aspiring wrestler being backstage, like it's part of our tradition to say hi, you know, show respect, say hi to everybody, shake hands. But then sometimes it comes, and I've noticed a lot of guys do this at a point, like if I'm in the middle of conversing with the boss about something and it's in depth, like they're standing there awkward waiting to say hi, and it's just like they want to come up, but then they don't because they don't want to interrupt, but now they've been seen and they're just like in a tight spot where it's like, say hi when it's convenient. Someone looks busy, don't bother them because they're not expecting it. They don't care if you don't say hi. But when you do say hi, make it quick, make it memorable. And more often than not, they're going to engage you in conversation and you might wind up best friends. So,
like me and you.
That code right there, that goes across all sports. And what you was stating earlier about having 40 people there and only 12 working, so you have a bunch of bench players and stuff. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of conversating about what I'm and right now I'm talking as a coach, because I'm a high school head coach here in Camarillo, and I'll be managing in Mahoning Valley this summer. And I know when the starters are out there, hey, they're just going out there doing their thing, but there are guys that are good, but you know, hey, I'm playing this guy over you. Is that same kind of politics that go on in wrestling where guys ask, you know, what can they do to get in the lineup or stuff like that?
Yeah, I think a lot of what the younger generation, and the reason I'm writing this stuff is because I've been in everybody's position. So like I'm speaking from experience, but it is that kind of political maneuvering to ask them, you know, what do I need to do? What can I do? What I have noticed though, maybe you notice this with high school kids, and I don't want to be two old men yelling at a fucking cloud here, but it just seems like this generation, and maybe we were the same in ours, will say they want to do all these things, and then you tell them what to do or how to do it, and then they don't do it. Like, I'll do anything to live my dream. You'll do anything, really. Well, will you do this? Like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like, all right. I think the one difference, like in high school, there's a lot of parity. So the difference between a starter and a bench player might be, I would say it's kind of like hit or miss. Like it can go either way. Whereas in, I guess, the majors, you know, you have a guaranteed contract. You're paid. You want to play, of course, but you can't politic. The utility infielder can't politic to be the starting shortstop. Like they just know their position. But I guess in high school, I don't know. When I was in high school, I had a game where I went 2-for-3 with a 2-run double in the bottom of the sixth. And the next day I was on the bench because my high school coach was also a teacher at the high school. And I just broke up with my girlfriend and he was punishing me because he was a creep. So there was politics. Why am I, did I not, should I have went 3-for-3? What could I have done? And I had a walk. So my on-base percentage was fucking pretty good that day. So I just don't know, like, maybe high school players can use, and wrestlers will do this, use the term politics as a bad thing to project they're not doing enough to be where they want to be. And I'm guilty of that as well, so.
In your book, can you try to get rid of the wet fish handshake? Because that was, like,
yeah,
that's the dumbest handshake in the world.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I meant to. And like, this is very sporadic. Like I had no intention of writing this, but it just keeps growing every time I sit down and jot some stuff down. But the wet fish handshake, gotta go. It's gotta go. And it's usually the old, it's like the old timers who haven't done anything. Like you shake Cena's hand, you're getting a firm, meaty grip. You know, you shake Triple H's hand, it's tight and it's fucking alpha. You shake a 30-year vet who's only had 40 matches and it's like fucking just not good.
I actually sanitize my hands when I get that wet fish. It's so gross. It's like, ugh.
Hammy and like,
I questioned the person. I was like, oh my God.
Don't like it. Yes, good call.
Yeah, the first time I was backstage at an Impact show, Pete was introducing me to a few people. I'm not going to call him out on the podcast, but I shook his hand and he looked at me weird and he went about his way. And Pete's like, dude, don't shake hard. It shows that you're not going to be gentle with them. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, I'm a civilian. I'm not going to wet handshake anybody.
Right. And I think, I mean, that was what, 2009-ish? You
know what 17.
Still, they're doing the wet paper towel.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it as debate, because there's one subject I had in debate in my rules of ethics, and that was taking a picture with a star. So I'm kind of against it.
Really? Why?
If I'm an up-and-comer and I see a childhood hero who's capable, I want to be in the ring with them. I feel like I need a rapport in a real surrounding and a genuine connection to have a picture. Now, I could be wrong, and I could think of like a lot of guys that have watched me, you know, ask for pictures, and I don't think down on them by any means. But at the same time, when I do it, I'm like, I'm never going to see you on this level, so it's okay. But X-Pac recently tweeted something about like, dude, I hate that shit. If you see me on a show and you want a picture, worker or not, grab me. That's cool. And I'm like, well, if X-Pac's saying that, he's way, you know, he's done way more than me. So I'm leaving it as debatable. But I would say that if you want to be treated as an equal, don't act like a fan, even if you are. So
what about you? How do you feel, Dimitri? Because, I mean, as a ball player, you have a rookie or, you know, spring training guy coming up and asking for pictures with you. Is it the same thing for you?
You know, it is definitely debatable. Me, myself, I would take the picture, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of one day I'm going to be in your position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I met Eddie Murray when I was in high school, and obviously he was an all-star. And then you meet guys along the way, and I tell them that, and I explain to them that I'm a big baseball fan growing up. I collect baseball cards of you guys, and this is what got me into that. So I give them an explanation and tell them I'm well on my way. And then I see those people later on, like, for instance, I collected PSA 10 rookie cards, and I've since sold the collection. But I remember going up to Tom Seaver. He was one of the announcers with the Mets at the time before he passed. And I went up there, introduced myself, and told him that, yeah, I collect baseball cards, have your PSA 10 rookie. He didn't know what I was talking about, but I heard that he brought that up on air, and people explained to him what the collection was and what it stood for me growing up. And so the explanation behind it made it more of a story, because I was a fan. But I understand where you're coming from as well, because there are some superstars that don't take pictures, and it's their own, you know, it's whatever. You know, if they want to do it, that's fine. If they don't want to, that's fine as well.
That's why I do want to realize the error of my ways and maybe my grieving bitterness I have to the world sometimes. But like, it's a decision I would suggest an aspiring wrestler to make based on their own decision. But I do remember a lot of pictures I've taken with up and comers and things like that. But the one noticeable one I remember, you know, because it's on the internet somewhere, like MJF took a picture with me in like 2015 or 16, and that's still floating around. And like, that's cool, because like, in another world, maybe we'd be working together in high level promo battle feuds. But at the same time, like, he came to something I did, and he learned a lot, and he became a huge star, and that's pretty cool. So I'm glad he did that.
Let me ask you this then. How about the timing of the picture? Is that more so than the picture itself? Like, if they were to ask you after the show, you're washed, you're clean, you know, you're maybe milling around saying goodbye to a couple buddies, and then the guy comes up to you and says, hey, you know, do you mind taking this picture? Opposed to like at the beginning of the show when the guy, you know, you're just getting there, you don't know if he's working the show or setting the lights, that kind of thing.
Yes, I think that is actually, timing is everything in that nature. And I'm never turning down or mad at him. I'm just saying, if as an aspiring professional, where do you want to be seen? Timing, I think the way you said it, very important. Or like, we're getting food later, or yes, after the show, cleaned, feeling good, everything's done, shaking hands on the way out, can I get a picture? Hell yeah, buddy. Psh, let's go. So yeah, that makes sense.
That sounds the same with baseball. You know, you see the guys doing their sprints before the game. You see a couple go over there and sign. But for me, it was like, I'm getting ready to whoop this team's ass over here. So I'm in that mood. And like after the game, we say, yeah, I see. Okay, boom. After the game, and then when I'm suited and booted, only when I'm at the stadium. When I'm out to dinner, hey, I know that you're eating. I don't want to be rude or anything.
Well, you are.
Yeah, they are being rude. I'm over here trying to tear into this doggone porterhouse, and I was like, you know, after I don't do anything while I eat, and so I know y'all get the same thing as well.
Yeah, if we're talking from the fan perspective too, you know, I was always raised by my father to ask at the appropriate times. Like, if you ever see somebody eating, you don't talk to them. You know, they look busy, don't. But more often than not, you know, and it will happen. And maybe someone isn't as fortunately guided by the father figure of EC2 that I had. But if they come up and it's eating, you know, I would probably be like, after I'm done, just so they learn that lesson. But I always do go find them. And even if they feel hesitant to come up because they feel, oh, fuck, I blew it. No, you didn't. It's just like, this is the protocol and you're good and we're fine. And there you go. It'll be $20. Just kidding.
I'll PayPal you because I definitely want a picture with you.
You don't Venmo? You back in the day PayPaling guy?
Hey, listen, I'm wearing a Greatest American Hero shirt. How old do you think I am? I'm old, man. I don't do.
Hey, that's a cool t-shirt, by the way.
Thanks, man. I don't want to brag.
What is the Greatest American Hero? I don't even know that.
No, it's
believe it or not, I'm walking on it.
I'd say mid-80s.
Yeah.
TV show.
Ralph Hinckley was his name.
Yes.
Wow. He
didn't know how to land. He yeah, go ahead. Explain it. I love that show. It was only on for 2-3 seasons.
Yes, it's on like one of those like Roku channels. You can find it if you look it up. You should, by the way. The guy gets gifted from aliens. Now that I say this, it sounds ridiculous. A superhero suit to better the world. He ends up teaming up with an FBI guy that's all about conspiracies and, you know, taking down the Russians and all this stuff. And there's an instruction booklet and they lose it. So now the whole TV series is he has this suit that gives him superpowers, but he doesn't know how to use any of them.
That sounds thrilling.
And he definitely didn't know how to land.
Nope. So
I don't crash every time.
Yeah. If you find yourself going, what am I watching tonight? You may want to look that up.
I was thinking of watching Succession, but maybe I'll check that out.
No, you'll be right back on Succession super quick. Don't worry.
It's only 3 seasons.
Yeah, you may make it through 2 episodes. I can promise you that because I actually went back and started watching. I'm like, I need to buy me this fucking shirt. So I go out and just got it like 3 days ago. I only made it through 4 episodes, but the nostalgia is still there.
I had that shirt 15 years ago.
Dude, you were also hitting dingers, okay? While I was sitting on my couch watching you play baseball and then flipping over and watching EC3. So fuck you both.
All right,
I'm the fan you guys are making fun of. That was me. Hurts. Words hurt.
We're not making fun.
Just Dimitri. That hurts to me.
Your head is shiny too, like a white milk dud.
The hair thing was just Friday. I don't want to brag, but I'm almost pulling it off. So let me ask you this, Dimitri. Why do you love EC3 so much? I want to make his head bigger opposed to mine.
When he debuted as Dixie Carter's nephew on TNA Impact. Was it TNA or Impact at the time? Was it Impact?
TNA Impact.
Impact. Okay, that's what. And then you had the undefeated streak, won the title, and you was an absolute prick. You were MJF before MJF.
Yeah.
Like you because you had on the suits, you was looking good, and you were an absolute prick, and I absolutely loved it. And everything that you did was credible. You know what I'm saying? The build-up, and that's why it was a travesty to see after you went through that 5-star ladder match. I love that match, by the way. And then you weren't talking at all when you got called up. And I was like, oh, my God. The guy that has a gift of gab, silence. And
it's really
absurd. Go ahead.
It's absurd. But yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? But, yeah, well, everything that has happened for reasons to happen. So, you know, I'm glad the nostalgia of my TNA run means something to especially a professional athlete, because I've heard that from a few, and the amount of respect I have for what you guys do, obviously, it's like, okay, that's That's cool to know. And it was great impact. I think what was great about that too was given the opportunity, but then seizing it and sticking by what I thought it would be, to be that absolute prick, to not be worried about, quote, wrestling as much as becoming a character, and to kind of show the stages of credibility develop from like a pompous fucking dickhead who's getting fed tomato cans to like a guy who's going into wars and he keeps kind of winning, and then he actually gets good, and then he becomes a champion on his own. Like, it couldn't have been written better. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
One of the things I know about you is you're smart and funny. I mean, you're one of the funniest people I know in all of wrestling, and your personality is amazing. And there's, you know, and I hate to do the nostalgia thing, because, you know, one of your recent interviews, you kind of talked about the NWA nostalgia and changing it and all this stuff. But there's this new version of you, which threw me off guard, because I came up with like Dimitri, you know, I loved this EC3 dickheaded, confident guy talking. Then you become this dark Punisher-esque character, and you keep, but you've talked about this final evolution that you keep, you know, working towards. Is it in the middle? Is it one way to the left, one way to the right? Do you have an idea of like where this evolution is taking you?
Yeah, I think I have a final goal. It's based on Nietzsche's Overman. So what I'm realizing that at the time, you get fired from the WWE, the pandemic's running wild, like life and the world is burning outside, to just maintain this like, hey, I'm a rich guy, it's fun, right? Would have been probably financially lucrative, because I probably just went right to AEW, but also at the same time, not realistic to me, because that's not how I was feeling or living. But at the same time, doing it, I mean, Control Your Narrative had a giant plethora of things working against it, and warts and, you know, and lies and backstabbing and sabotage and people not living up to any of their ends of the bargains, to where the darkness, it was kind of in jest. I wanted it to be dark humor, but at the same time, some sort of emotional reality and harsh reality of somebody who would have gone through such horrible times and change. But now we're kind of out of it and moving forward. I kind of see a compilation of all of those. So the rugged badassery of this superhero with superhuman physique, but at the same time, maybe a little quick wit and some banter. And at the same time, this evolution into believing he is a legitimate real life demigod. So that's kind of where the final evolution to be. Because I want the Overman, because I'm over, man. I mean, it's money, right? It's fucking good. Yeah.
Shout out to wrestling.
Yeah, it's right amount of humor, but it's not haha. It's all right. Yeah, I get that. That's cool. To me, it is, at least.
I think it's awesome. And shout out to WrestleZone. That was the interview you did with them. So I want to give them credit, since I was kind of building off their question. Dimitri?
No, I mean, I was going to ask about, you know, what gave you the courage to start Control Your Narrative, where, like you said, everything was against you and things of that nature, to be able to be like, fuck it, I'm doing this.
The courage in it was based on the pandemic and that run in WWE. Like, the intention, and I lost sight of what the intention was. The intention, I did not want it to become some promotion, like the three-letter brands, I would call it. It had no intention of being a promotion, but then because what I went through within the pandemic and kind of, oh, your art is your therapy in a way. So developing a character and getting all this shit off my chest in a working manner, I realized how cathartic it felt to just build something myself, as opposed to walking into a wrestling show and being handed a script and like, what do you want from me today? You want me to do these lines and these moves? Okay. Like, so I wanted to give independence back to anybody who wanted to kind of reinvent themselves or try something new, different, or unique. Then when, you know, Braun would come aboard, you kind of have some, you have a top level star right off the bat. So with now there's agents involved and all these sort of shyster people popping up out of the woodwork, promising these things, these TV deals, these live things of this nature, to where it's like, This is not what it's supposed to be, but if this could happen, you got to try, even though in my heart I knew it wasn't going to be real because I know everybody's full of shit. That was the whole basis of my characters. Everybody's a fucking liar. So, you know, in theory, it all kind of turned out to not work out. Not anything against Braun. He should have went back and he should make that money. And his mission was complete because he was able to develop himself and go off and do what he wanted to do. So that's cool. But now looking at it, writing a book that's going to guide wrestlers, hopefully. It might be a small section of them who can handle the harsh realities I have to teach them and tell them, and like the real dirt of this industry and how to get through it, but also how to, you know, train through it, work through it, creatively think different through it, build confidence through it, become creative through it, how to become consistent through it. All these things I'm writing about. Controlling your narrative is always going to be a platform for neglected or a younger generation to kind of find their voice and go on and create themselves and hopefully become stars in their own way. So that's what I wanted to build, and it's kind of what I wanted it will be again. So
I noticed a softness in your character, at least on NWA, from where you started with the control your narrative stuff. Is that based on how you feel in the NWA, like, hey, I'm comfortable, this is a great place to be, now my character can kind of be a little bit more centric instead of I don't even know what the word would be,
demented,
yeah, very rigid maybe, but you don't seem as stiff of a character, if that makes sense now.
Yeah, that's why I grew the hair out,
which is nice, by the way. I like it.
I think to constantly evolve, so to go to one extreme and drastic measure, but at the same time, it turned a lot of people off, turned fans off, and that's okay, because, you know, when you're creating art, you can't be afraid to offend people. So having fun again, I think, is why the softness and, you know, the more stationary it can become, because there is fun in what I'm doing and there is a clear sight of goals. And I don't have the pressure of everybody else's bullshit. I just have to worry about mine. So if I have a goal to become NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, I mean, I'm the current NWA National Champion. Thank you. Hold on. Let me get the title.
Yes. Get the belt.
So now the pressure of everybody's nonsense and all these false bravados and promises of shady business.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Like that softness can return.
Yes, sir.
You know, fans, we are entertainment, so I don't want to be a hard lesson in the horrors of the real world when professional wrestling is escapism, too. So more a silent awareness to you guys are being fucking fucked over by everybody around you. But at the same time, I'll do it fun.
You know what? The 10 pounds of gold will look a lot better than the national belt, even though the national belt is mwah.
Yeah, it's nice. Got crocodile skin.
Wow.
I like to see you with the 10 pounds of gold.
I don't know. Maybe I need to get a gig on a cable news network and then I'll be right in there. I think we can get there. We'll see.
I mean, doing this podcast is one step away from basic cable.
Yeah, well, you know what? Not only am I Dixie Carter's nephew, but apparently I'm Tucker Carlson's nephew too. It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah, how does that stuff happen to you? Because you seem, here's the weirdest thing about you. As
Carlson the third.
Well, as a guy who I would fancy myself just under friends with you, right around very good acquaintances. I think, you know, working my way up that ladder, but a supporter nonetheless. And you could sneeze and the internet will write 3-page articles about how you were the most horrible human being spreading lies. And I'm like,
oh, wow. I don't even talk about anything online or politically, and I don't understand it except for the fact a very minute, awful, soyish fan base opted to make me a target because they think they know what I am or what I believe. And it's kind of interesting. Why? And then also, maybe, just maybe, I'm still one of the true great professional wrestlers because I'm making you feel something. And you don't know if it's real or not. Hence the term work.
Yeah, education right there.
I do charitable things. Do I need to post about it on social media? No. I do more charitable things than probably anybody. I am a nice guy, unfortunately. I'm so nice, people literally consistently bug me for advice on life because I guide people through their rough patches and things of that nature. If you buzz me up saying you're having a tough time, guess who's going to be there with some moral support? Me, easily. So, yeah, whatever, sneeze. Here's the thing. I don't respect the opinion of people I don't respect. So it's fine. It's fine. The true greats in any sort of genre or industry are the ones who are unafraid to go out there and do something different and to have that energy, whether it's their negative energy or your positive energy overshadowing them, creating something that has feeling, love, hate. As long as it's not indifference, I don't care.
See, this is why you need to be doing a podcast. I know you're a two-timer on here. The first time I went on this rant about, first of all, how I loved the little one you did, not little, but the short run of it that you did. And I wish you would bring it back. Now you're too good not to be, whether it's wrestling or just anything, you're too good not to be doing something podcast-wise.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, boys. I think it's finding a niche too. So doing wrestling, it's got to be wrestling based, but then at the same time to expand to other markets, what do you have to be like? Cause you have so many, like this is wrestling based.
Yeah.
You have so many assets from athletes to musicians you're working with. Is it all strictly wrestling fans or do those fans follow, you know, your co-hosts and your cohorts? So how much non-wrestling can you get away with before they're tuning it out, not listening or watching again? And like, dude, I know all the dirt. I know everything. And here's the thing. Anything I've said publicly, I have never lied. I've just told you the honest truth and you have a tough time believing it. So, but what, you know, regardless. Yeah. I had somewhere to go with that. I forget where. Yeah. Podcast. Podcast. All right.
You know, I can get you Dimitri Young if you want him on your show.
I do.
Yeah. See?
I'm down.
We got to do it in person, though. So we're going to drag you up to Cleveland.
Hey, it's only an hour away from Youngstown.
Perfect.
Hey, can you tell me about Youngstown, Ohio? And for those, I am going to be managing in the draft league this summer and in Mahoning Valley with the Scrappers. I'm wearing a hat. That's a badass hat, by the way. This is one of the shirts. And I heard it's like a mini sports mecca, so to speak.
I mean, yeah. if you're there, it's a sports mecca. But before you got there, I don't know.
Was it corrupt?
Oh, it's Rust Belt as hell. I would say it's right on the border of PA. So, you know, right off the bat, it strikes 2 and 3 right there. I dated and, you know, still family friends with people from East Liverpool. So I had to, you know.
Is that in that general Mahoning Valley area?
South. So we'd have to drive to Youngstown to go south. And that's right on the devil's asshole, I would call the border of Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. So shout out.
What'd you call that? The devil's booty hole?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Great people. Great people. Funny story. So do you know where Niles, Ohio is? Because it's kind of in that Youngstown area.
Is that where they had the explosion leakage or something going on there?
That was East Palestine, which is also close to that area. Niles is kind of near Youngstown to this East Liverpool. So Impact had a show at Niles, and it was at a minor league baseball stadium. And I was wrestling Bully Ray in the main event. And I come out, and because I have family and friends from all over Ohio, and my significant others and her family is coming up, and it was a raucous time. I'm making my entrance. They're dancing on dugouts. You know, it's fucking hilarious. And like, it's just a memorable time. Wrestle the match and I'm leaving. I'm getting in the car to go out to see everybody. And I see my uncle, his hands are covered in blood. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And then I see my girlfriend at the time's dad's like all disheveled, getting put into a car. And I see my future brother-in-law getting put in this car. And they, some fans started talking shit about EC3.
So oh, no.
My uncle and my almost father-in-law, almost brother-in-law pummeled them into oblivion because it got out of hand. So, yeah, Niles and I.
Wow. Shout out to Niles, EC3 territory.
And I realized, too, that I would never fight my significant other's old man because the dude has a knockout punch and he's, 6'5" and huge. So I knew better, but he's cool.
I'm sorry. I love that story.
It's quite interesting. I can't wait for the Dirt Sheet articles tomorrow about how EC3's family beat up fans. So how horrible they are. So
that's who it is. We're gonna be ready for that lawsuit.
That's right.
What were some of those? Because we've talked about the change in you kind of like in wrestling again. What were some of those factors, and did you notice them as they were happening, or was it like you sat down, you reflected, and went, "Hey, wait a second, I kind of like this again"?
I think after the absurdity of I think part of wrestling's problem was just a strictly negative and toxic fan base at times. It's not everybody, but it's the negative is what you see and what travels. It's not the positive, the good things you rarely ever see. I mean, taking case in point, WrestleMania, people are, flaking out over the Cody Rhodes loss. And in that midst of just complaining about something, losing sight of the fact, the night before, Charlotte and Rhea Ripley had the best female match of all time. And nobody's talking about that. So I'm like, why aren't we talking about the good things short of your fantasy of what you wanted to happen, which in theory is going to happen now because it actually means something. So just delay your gratification, you losers. But liking wrestling again came from being around choice young talents, I would say. Because I'm doing the bit with OVW and Al Snow and helping him build that out. And there's a lot of potential there. But one kid in particular working with Cal Hero.
Love them. I absolutely love Cal.
You do know him. Okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I follow his dad, and through his dad running the promotion in Wisconsin, I've become a fan of him.
He gets it and he works hard and he knows he does have sort of that benefit of the family relationship with Al, but he works twice, three times as hard as everybody to maintain the fact that I'm not getting it handed to me. I'm working for it. So working with him and then being programmed with him, another guy in NWA like Silas, the Thrillbilly, we're building up to a feud for this. We had a promo segment where it was very unscripted, but it was a money promo to sell a match between us. And so fortunately I had, the faith of the office to kind of take a hold of it and delivering it in the moment, I'm this is what I love. And then talking to these kids, dude, wrestling with you is one thing, but being in an angle and seeing how you work and you build things and your mind works, that's the real honor. So they inspire me very much so. So giving back to the kids, paying it forward to a generation that works hard and deserves it and is going to carry the business forward. That inspires me. And then now I can watch wrestling again, old wrestling, and I like it, So.
Dimitri, you've told the story a few times, and I think EC3 will get a kick out of it. But because this will take us back to old wrestling and whatnot, but can you tell him the story about the Cincinnati Reds locker room, NWO?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were split down the middle. We had NWO Hollywood that consisted of the captain, Barry Larkin, Johnny Knoxville, Aaron Boone. Who else was part of it? No, Sean Casey and myself, we was part of the Wolf Pack.
There you go.
Pokey Reese was Wolf Pack. Eddie Tobinsey was Hollywood. Hey, we had a dead split. And it got to a point where, I would wear an NWO t-shirt, on the road and stuff. And then getting off the bus, people, you know the green flies, the autograph seekers, they right in front of the bus. They're giving me the too sweet way back when. And they knew that we were big wrestling fans. And I mean that's how our clubhouse was run. We talk shit to each other and we'll compare stats after the game, whoever had the better stats, you know, the loser has to buy dinner type stuff.
Did you ever have somebody turn their back on the Wolfpack and join the NWO Hollywood?
I've never asked that question. As many times as I heard this, I've never asked that.
We did have one.
Sean Casey, right?
No, it was Danny Graves.
Okay.
Fucking Danny Graves.
Unbelievable.
Yep. He actually did. That's funny that you say that because it was dirty too. It was real dirty. He got the save and of course, we're over there celebrating, and he took off the shirt and he had on the Hollywood under it. I was like, "You son of bitch!"
Baseball and wrestling are very similar, I think, because you spend all that time together on the road too. You're just in rooms all the time, like building weird feuds and weird bonds, and just brotherhood kind of shit like that. That's
so true.
Yeah. Shit, Sean Casey, man, I was a big fan of his in the Indians because I saw him as a minor leaguer and I picked him. Like, he's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we traded him for nothing. And then he, turned out to be a 300 hitter.
He's one of my favorite teammates, Sean Casey.
Massive. We had him on the podcast, a massive wrestling fan.
Dude.
Oh, yes. Our handshake before the game, you know how they had a handshake? Mine and Sean Casey's was 2, maybe 4, maybe 5. Talking about hits in the game. We did that every game. 2, maybe 4, maybe 5.
Wow. Well, listen.
I know, corny as hell, but
no.
Back in the day, that had flair. That was like the high five that Dusty Baker invented in baseball.
Well,
back in the 70s.
Listen. We're going to talk off air because we're all geeking out here, and I love this. But I know EC3, it's past your bedtime. I really – no?
No, usually, I'm – because I try to be that stupid early riser. But my flight schedule got me all flipped off, and I was up at the coffee shop writing my little manual here. And then, a pretty girl walked in, and now I'm going to go –
talk to her.
I try to retain, I try to keep women out, they just weaken legs and weaken minds, but some human connection isn't the worst thing. So I'm good. But I said, hey, I got to go do a podcast with my celebrity friends. And she's like, oh, wow, that's so cool.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Were you like, yeah. And then this other guy who keeps texting me, I don't know who he is, but I got him saved in do not answer.
Oh, I did not. Embellish your stats.
But I like that. EC3, where can people find you? I said this last time. I'll say this again. If you are one of those EC3 haters, just get to know the guy. I absolutely love him. You will too if you just stop reading about him and learn about him.
Well, if they're hating on him, get a girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, look, like if you're hating me, you're probably a weak-willed man, and you're probably, you know, living within a hive mind and in the bubble. And like, you know, I don't blame you. I blame what society has done to you. It's not your fault. You don't realize
that did it. You just changed everybody's mind with that one. Thank you.
Totally fucking I'm totally fucking sweet. Everybody in the business loves me. I'm a super genius. I'm super fucking jacked. I'm super and I'm very humble and I'm very nice. And I really care about what you probably care about too. And that's the thing about it. But you know what? Somebody makes up one fucking lie, based on, oh, I don't know, maybe it was the fact that some dirty promotion has stupid internet connections to all these sheets. And then when they tried to make us not run the same building as them, the next day it comes out that we're funded by fucking Mike Lindell. And you believe that shit? What can I do for you? That you got lied to blatantly by scummy, awful, horrible people who don't even pay their talent half the time. And I'm the bad guy. And because I tell you exactly what's happening at all times with open honesty. I'm not lying. I haven't lied yet. When I do my little bit on Sportskeeda with Dr. Featherstone and Vince Russo, I have never told a lie. I've always said, this is what I have heard or this is what I have known. And I haven't been wrong. So whatever. Again, hate is going to hate. I don't care. But I do have a workout app, so maybe if you're tired of looking at yourself, hating the way you look and the way you feel, go to join.freeec3.com. Use the promo code CYN, get 20% off. I make you custom nutrition and diet plans, and I can change your life for the better. And then, hell, maybe after that, you start reading books. Maybe you stop watching Google's amounts of fucking porn. Maybe you talk to human beings. Maybe you just find something that gives you a purpose and happiness in life, short of complaining about other people's actions on the internet and usually complaining about them when they're based in lies and falsehoods. Maybe. Or do what you're doing. I don't care. Just leave me alone and we're good, because you know what? I believe in freedom and independence for all. You're free to do whatever you want.
I think the next interview you do, when you talk about this app, do it shirtless so people can see the end product. Like, you know, you could look like me.
Yeah, I mean, not tight enough. Well, yeah. No, it's all about, and then comparison is the thief of joy, right? Don't look like me. Like, I'm psychotic, okay? I'm too ingrained into it. I'm too far gone. You don't want to do, two-a-days all day. My body's hurting. I have some atrophy issue that showed up out of nothing. It turns out it's probably just negative energy and a hex from the devil out of all the doctors that couldn't figure anything out. So it's it's coming back, which is a good thing. But yeah, don't be the best you. That's what I want you to be. I want you to control your narrative, man. What is control your narrative? Oh, it's a right-wing dog whistle. It's tell your story, dipshit. God, why has everything got to be political? Just leave our entertainment alone. I don't make it political. You do. And what have you been right about? Ask yourself this. What have you been right about that you think I think? What has been correct? Okay. Nothing either. So I'm just telling you the truth. Thank you.
I'm not on trial. I am a fan of yours, by the way, just so we all know. I felt very, very like I was like, wait a second. I didn't say, hey, I like EC3.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, like, discussions and debates on differing opinions is how things get resolved and things get better and move forward. For example, my thing about the autograph picture, where I was totally against it. I'm sorry, the picture as a wrestler with a wrestler, until a seasoned veteran who knows way more than me, who's done way more than me, blatantly says, no, I love that. And it made me think about it. And then we had this discussion where we compared it to another, you know, high profile act, a major league sport. And then now I have come around to change my opinion because I believe everything Xbox said was right and Dimitri said was right. So conversation, it's better than yelling. It's better than yelling, guys.
Can I suggest a change, though? Can you propose changes in your books? Because I think there needs to be a change to the handshake. Not the wet one, but maybe if you're on the show, you should shake everybody's hands. But if you're the lighting guy, you don't need to shake everybody's hands. If you're just bringing in catering, if you're a friend of a wrestler, I don't need to shake everybody's hand.
Yeah, what I'm, this book is geared towards, like, so it's a very niche market. It's for the aspiring wrestler. So, I mean, you'd probably get, you probably like it a lot, but like,
I'll support you and buy it.
Well, I mean, I might have to I might have to make it a giant course because I also don't know if it's something that should just be willy nilly to hand to fans. And then it goes to one, oh, then Reddit gets a hold of it. Then they just post it online. Like, you know, they got to pay. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we'll sabotage this. Look what he said about making spots mean something. He said super kicks are good when they're done in the right moments. What a fucking demon. Kill him. Kill him. So where was I going with that? Mine was changed. Book. Yes, the handshake. I break that for the aspiring wrestler to make sure they shake everyone's hand because everybody on that show has importance. So shake the catering person's hand, you know, be respectful to each and every person that's part of making that show happen because without them, there is no you. But also at the same time, I'm going to put dissolve the wet paper towel handshake. We shake hand like grown adults now. Wrestling handshake is done.
Yes.
Okay. I'm proud of that.
That we just, I think we just changed the world here, guys.
I'm surprised it's still going on in 2017. Yes. I never partook in it. And anytime I shook a top person's hand, it was a handshake.
Yeah, I won't say this on here, but maybe when we done recording, I'll tell you who it was and a couple guys. But the Dimitri, man, I miss you. I am so glad that you made it back for this.
This is fun.
Hey, thank you for the invite. And, you know, I'm still a fan of the show. I catch it whenever I can. You and Lars, y'all are doing an absolute great job. I told you when Lars first came on, I love that guy. So knowledgeable, nice and calm, but just he's got that cool about him. And then he's a wrestling fan on top of all that. And EC3, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to see you win the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, the 10 pounds of gold. Do you get to do like option C with the national belt? And
yeah, you know what? I don't know the rules, man. I just win the titles. I think there is. I think I can possibly cash it in. But like, you know what? The Overman isn't ready yet. So I'll give it time. I can give it the summer, maybe.
So, okay. You know, slow burn. I like slow burn.
I'll make sure I'm getting in that good groove, getting the winning streak, you know, where everything's slowing down and I'm just seeing it come right down the pipe. Here we go.
That night you wrestle for it, you should come out with an entourage. I think in wrestling, that boxing, like the John Hedigan entrance,
that was hilarious.
Yes. But I think in wrestling, that would work so well in wrestling, and I don't know why they don't do that.
I think that would work particularly well with Tyrus and I, with this, A, the story we can tell, B, who we know, and, you know, C, our weird, eccentric personalities. Not because he's on Fox and I'm some sort of right-wing psychopath, just because we're both weirdos from pro wrestling. But, like, he would be into having an entourage, and I think his entourage and my entourage, just a gang of freaks. Dude, if I can get Sean Hannity to come in and be on my freaking squad.
Well, I can promise you, Dimitri Young, maybe in this time from now to then, we can turn Dimitri Young into like the Black Sean Hannity. And then it will mean more when he comes out. Like, are you in, T? Can you start spewing off a bunch of hate speech?
Spewing off? I need to get back in the gym. I got to get on that EC3 program.
I will send it to you after this is over. I'll let you. I would love for you to try it out. Give me some feedback. Not to sell my shit, even though, you know, I should. I'd be a good businessman if I did. But it's custom designed for, you know, who you are and what you're doing. So, you know, like I'm a dad, you know, I can go 3 days a week and I like to eat well, but I'm not into micromanaging all my meals. No problem. Get you something good, easy to follow. It's just all about consistency, you know?
Well, listen, EC3, I'm sure you will be back on very, very soon. You are one of my favorites. I can't say enough nice things about you. I'm a fanboy. For everybody at home, the podcast's over. Go do something constructive. We're going to say our goodbyes off the air. EC3, Dimitri Young, thank you both for hanging out with me tonight.
Thank you, Dennis.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.